Well, let's talk about Last Dance and the premiere last night. Obviously, you were there for so much of the stuff that we were watching. What was it like to join this Bulls team in 88 when it was the fast track to success?
Well, you know, I remember times were so different back then, especially in the draft. In 1988, the draft was during the day. I mean, I literally got drafted with the 11th pick by the Bulls. My mom and I and my father walk out the back door of the Forum in New York. Literally, back then, it was a big deal, but it wasn't. Hail a cab, go straight to the airport, jump on a plane, fly to Orlando, drive to Clearwater Beach, Florida, because I'm going to a wedding that weekend. And I was sitting on the beach wearing my Bulls jersey that night at a bonfire, having a beverage, talking about, I'm going to play with the best player in the world. Oh, my God, this is going to be awesome. And I remember about 2 weeks into the first practice going, oh, my God, what have I gotten myself into? But don't get me wrong about it. It wasn't enjoyable, but it was having to learn how to play at that level. I'd always lived up, or I loved expectations because it gives you something to work for. But I never questioned my ability to play in the league. But I questioned myself for a few years whether I was ever going to live up to the expectations that he had for me. And not just for me. I know other teammates felt the same thing, because sometimes we wondered, I mean, because of who he is and because of how hard he works. And I used to say that I think, sometimes he just didn't understand how good he was, because at times he kind of portrayed it as, if you work as hard as me, you'll be as good as me. And you felt like smacking him across the side of the head and being like, dude, that's not how it works.
That's not how this thing goes. Well, a lot of people watching, it's definitely built up the Jerry Krause tension with MJ, with Scotty, most especially. And something tells me we'll get to see a little bit more in the next 8 episodes, but not like you saw it. Just how bad was this relationship? MJ, Jerry Krause, Scotty, Jerry Krause.
You know, it's kind of interesting. As you saw in episode, or last, let's just say last night, I couldn't remember if it was episode 1 or episode 2, when Michael couldn't understand why they wouldn't let him play more than, 7 minutes a half. In that Indiana Pacers game, they wouldn't let him go back in, even though there was only 14 seconds. I mean, it baffled him. And that went against everything that he believed in. You play to win. You play to win at all costs. And I think, first of all, that's where the mistrust started. But I think what people also don't understand is that Phil Jackson was a master. And I don't mean this in disrespect, Sarah and Jordan, but I think you guys will agree to me. He was a master at manipulating the media to get out the narrative that he wanted. And I'm not talking about how when we were playing the Knicks, he used to talk about, if they're not looking at the officiating, then something's wrong, and that would piss off Pat Riley.
Right.
But it was also getting the message out there about how he wanted players to react. But at the same time, and, I saw a great story that said, let's not forget, Bill Jackson's father was a preacher. He understood the importance of the congregation. He needed the congregation to believe. And Phil learned a lot from his father, in the sense that he understood who the congregation was. The congregation wasn't the players. It was the media. It was the fans. And he knew how to gather that congregation and get him on his side. Jerry Krause didn't understand the media. Jerry Krause hated the media because he thought they were the devil. And Phil played off that. Let's be honest, Phil poured a little gasoline on the fire. And he put people in position where they had to choose, and it showed, and I thought a little more so than it should have, that, people chose Phil Jackson over Jerry Krause. But the truth was, Jerry Krause brought in Phil. Jerry Krause gave Phil the opportunity to be the head coach. And I think that at times Jerry Krause, even though at the end of the day he just wanted to win championships, he couldn't understand and grasp why he wasn't given the credit that he thought he was due for assembling the team. He didn't draft Michael, but he assembled those teams that won those championships, and he felt like he was neglected in the recognition department.
It's Spain and Company. We're talking to Will Perdue, four-time NBA champ, three of those with the Bulls. I'm curious what you thought Michael and Phil's roles were next to each other, because obviously Phil had to balance having this incredibly passionate, talented guy. Did Phil ever seem to step in on any of those moments when, you know, the famous moment where he's punching Steve Kerr in the face, or any of those moments where Michael's acting like a coach in his own right?
Not really, because, you know, the one thing that I always tell people was Phil didn't say a lot. Now, what he said behind closed doors when it was just him and Michael, we were never privy to that. You know, because it wasn't like the first three-peat teams were very close. We weren't like a close-knit team, like we went on the road and we all went to dinner together, you know, or, you know, talking to Steve Kerr and Bill Wennington and Pip and those guys. It wasn't like that. Team, you know, the second three-peat team was closely knit. I mean, you had your little niches of guys that hung out together, but it wasn't like they were constantly going on team meals together. Everybody kind of went their own direction, did their own thing. But I always talk about how Phil, you know, when he became the head coach, Johnny Bock was already there. He moved over a seat. Tex Winter was already there. He moved over a seat. He basically just assigned people what was going on. Tex, you run the offense, which was the triangle. Johnny Bock, you're going to do the defense. It's like a defensive coordinator, and then I'll put the game plans together. There were times in practice, regardless of what happened, whether there were verbal altercations, physical altercations, you know, very competitive situations, that Phil hardly said a word. Remember, he had problems with his back all the time. So during practice, he wouldn't stand still. During practice, he would just constantly walk around the court. Now, he would occasionally blow his whistle and talk about, you know, cut the you-know-what. But mostly practices were run by Johnny Bock. Practices were run by Tex Winter. And then the players were allowed input. Now, sometimes the input by the players was never in a disrespectful manner. But I think what people forget sometimes is, and Sarah, you can talk about this. Jordan, you know about this. To play at the college level, to play in the NBA, you have to have a certain attitude. You have to have somewhat of an ego. You have to think highly of yourself. But you also consider yourself a very competitive person. And if somebody comes at you enough with the wrong tone of voice or what you think is from a disrespectful manner, you're going to respond. And I don't think people realize how many altercations there were in practices back then. And at times, even during games. But it was all out of the respect factor. And I always joke, you know, NBA fights, they weren't really fights. They were scuffles, and nobody really threw a punch until somebody got in between you and you tried to reach around somebody
right.
And throw a sucker punch. You know, Michael got in one on Steve. He got one in on me, but those types of things were very rare. It was guys going at each other because they thought that maybe somebody, you know, was disrespecting them for the wrong reasons.
Yeah, and that's clear, you know, the competitive nature that came across. But what we haven't seen yet is, was there any animosity towards MJ? We know about the physicality, the fights, some sharp tongue, some words. But did it ever get to a point where you guys would be like, I can't do it with this guy? Did anybody ever reach that point where you had to talk about the ledge, like, come on, this is for the greater good?
I don't think it ever got to that point. But animosity, yes. You know, it was great to hear MJ talk about, you can't say Michael Jordan without mentioning Scottie Pippen in the same breath. Now, it was awesome to hear that, because I think that hopefully people will understand just how good Scottie was, even though he played, you know, in Michael's shadow in his prime. But I specifically remember, you know, that, and Sarah, being from this area, you might remember this, the media was always trying to come up with nicknames for everybody. What do we call this team? What is going on? You know, the first three-peat, they were talking about, what are they? You know, then they went through this period where it was Michael Jordan and the Jordanaires.
Yeah.
And I specifically remember Scottie Pippen and Horace Grant going, I ain't no blanking Jordanaire. Don't they know who I am? And it was almost like the animosity was being created by the media, not necessarily by the guys in the locker room, but it was some of the situations or stories that guys wanted to write and the questions that were being asked. That aggravated guys more than what was actually happening in practice or in the locker room or on the bus or during games.
Yeah. Well, and that's one of the most fascinating things is the ability to win this many titles over the course of several years, to keep the egos in check, to work with different supporting casts, and it's going to be fun to watch kind of as it goes on. Love the insight, Will. Thank you so much for giving us some time.
Thanks, Will.
Well, I appreciate it. I mean, I'm like everybody else, man. I'm not happy that we have to wait till Sunday to get to episode 3
I know,
and 4.
Right? I was thinking that, and then I was like, but how depressing would it be if we just watched them all in one night? Then what would we have to look forward to? So in some ways, it's for our own good.
It helps pass the time. Thanks,
exactly.
Guys.